The title of this next story might just be We Are Not Alone, and we've kind of always known that. Carl Zimmer, science writer for our partner, The New York Times. Good morning.
Good morning.
So we've always known that life is a bit of a collaborative exercise with the living organisms in our digestive tract, right? Explain how that works a little bit.
Well, you know, our bodies are made up of about 10 trillion human cells, but we also are home to about 100 trillion bacteria and other microbes, and they do all sorts of things for us. They synthesize vitamins for us in our gut. They help to digest our food. They help our immune system grow and defend us from pathogens. So we really depend on what's called the microbiome.
And recent research, I mean, for a long time, this collaborative symbiosis with bacteria hasn't been the central focus of studies on medicine and health, but some of the latest research suggests that you can actually categorize people in the same way that you type blood with the kind of flora and fauna that are in your digestive tract. First of all, what have they found?
Well, you know, what they did was they fished out DNA from the thousands of species that live in our gut. I mean, it's incredibly complicated in there in terms of an ecosystem. And, you know, at first they weren't sure what they'd find, because sometimes when you look in one person, you see a whole bunch of species, and you look at another person, you see some of those species, but not all of them, and other species. And for a long time, it's been kind of a blur and hard to figure out. But now that scientists are really starting to see a bunch of different people and be able to analyze a lot more data, they start to see suddenly that there are just three different types of ecosystems, just three. And so far they can put all people that they've looked at from the United States, Japan, Europe, into one of those three types.
We're speaking with Carl Zimmer, science writer for our partner, The New York Times. And Carl, it's fascinating research, although it does, like many groundbreaking discoveries, have more questions associated with it than answers. But one of the things, one of the parts of it which is perhaps the most speculative, is the effect that these bacteria seem to have on personality.
Yeah, so there have been a number of studies that have been done recently, particularly on mice, and looking at what these microbes do to behavior, because the fact is that they are releasing plenty of molecules into the gut, and they go into the bloodstream, and some of them get into the brain. And then some studies have shown that, for example, if you take the bacteria from an obese mouse and put it into an ordinary mouse, that mouse will actually start to get hungry. It will actually eat more. And the only difference is that it's got the bacteria from the obese mouse. And other researchers have done experiments where they can, certain kinds of bacteria will make a mouse grow up to be more anxious, and others will be more, explore more. So who knows if these different types could reflect differences in personality. It's one of many questions that scientists are going to be exploring now.
Well, at the very least, there's a very nuanced relationship between the chemistry of these bacteria and some of the neuron triggers that involve all kinds of things going on in the neurological system. But we've had hints of this already, in that treatments for ulcers really have begun to involve the bacteria in the digestive system. There are even tests for cancer and other chronic illnesses that involve testing for certain kinds of bacteria. Where could this head?
Well, this could head in a whole bunch of different directions, because a lot of diseases have been linked in one way or another to the microbiome, to these microbes. Everything from allergies and asthma to obesity to diabetes to diseases like Crohn's disease, which is an immune system disorder in the gut. It might be even possible to fight infections by, balancing our inner ecosystem better. So there are all sorts of different ways that you could take this research, even like what kind of drugs you should take. Because the fact is, when you take, say, Tylenol, your cells are not the ones breaking it down, actually. It's actually these bacteria that are breaking it down so that you can absorb it.
Right. You know, the interesting thing is, if you think about antibiotics, these are molecules that are created from bacteriological, toxins that are naturally produced, and then they're synthesized by pharmacological companies. Could you also create different strains of bacteria that would function as medicines themselves?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we know for a fact that there are a number of species that actually live inside of us that actually themselves make antibiotics all the time. So, like, you take, you breathe in some air into your nose, and you breathe in a bunch of bacteria. Well, there are actually resident bacteria in there that are making antibiotics, and those are they're helping to ward off some invaders that could make you really sick. And so, so scientists are thinking, well, maybe, instead of just blasting our bodies with antibiotics and wiping lots of things out, good bacteria along with the bad, maybe we should be trying to foster these different bug types, as it were, to bring us back to our normal ecosystem.
Carl Zimmer, science writer for our partner in the New York Times. Do we know if there are only three enterotypes, or that's just what we know so far? And also, could a person change their enterotype by, as you say, moving bacteria from one person to the other?
Well, those are both great questions, and we just don't know. I mean, this is brand new stuff, and I mean, when I talk to the scientists about it, they kind of shake their head. They're just like, well, this is what we see so far, and who knows what's going to turn out. I mean, they need to go, for example, they need to start looking at people from Africa and from China, lots of different ethnic backgrounds, to see if this holds up. And they also need, as you say, to track people over time, and they need to go to people who are not living in industrialized countries. It's, the pattern so far is strikingly clear, so it'll be interesting to see if it holds up.
And to see who's evolved to have certain advantages and certain disadvantages based on the type. It's all kinds of fascinating questions. Carl Zimmer, science writer for our part of the New York Times, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Talking about the different bacteria in the digestive tract of humans being typed into three basic categories. Scientists wondering why, but they have lots of questions.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.